Welcome to Central Line, Leadership in Healthcare, the show that shares stories, experiences, and advice from notable and innovative leaders in healthcare. Leading in healthcare is incredibly challenging. So if you are looking to learn firsthand from nurses, physicians, administrators, and other healthcare professionals in leadership and management roles, this is the podcast for you. Hosted by Leah Wutchik, leadership development expert, executive coach, healthcare professional, and president and co-founder of Tall Trees Leadership. We talk with today's successful healthcare leaders on how they get to where they are, lessons learned along the way, and what it takes to thrive as a successful leader in healthcare. Let's get started with your host, Leah Wutchik.
Jennifer Krippner is a recognized expert in the field of patient experience and human-centered care. She has over 25 years of experience in strategic planning, patient experience, physician development, and employee community engagement. Jennifer is most passionate about building and nurturing connections and relationships. Prior to her lead role at the Institute for Healthcare Excellence, Jennifer was the Director of Physician Development and Guest Public Relations at Maple Grove Hospital in Minnesota. While there, she led staff-driven patient experience advisory teams and developed projects that directly contributed to consistent top-tier performance and staff satisfaction results. Jennifer is a fierce advocate for connecting things, concepts, and people, both seen and unseen, that positively move the experience forward. She stands out for her personal dedication to helping hospitals and health systems build a culture of excellence that promotes the delivery of exceptional patient-centered care. Jennifer is committed to guiding a differentiated human experience that optimizes outcomes for patients, individualizes services to meet unique needs, and assists caregivers in regaining joy and purpose. While Jennifer takes great pride in her work, her true north remains her family, her friends, and the relationships she develops. Hello, Jennifer. Thanks so much for being here at Central Line Leadership in Healthcare. How is your day going?
It's going so great. I'm so grateful to be with you today, Lee, and have this opportunity to share a little bit about myself and what we do at the Institute for Healthcare Excellence.
That is beautiful. Well, I'm thrilled to have you. And maybe let's just launch into it right there about the Institute for Healthcare Excellence. And what do you do there and what is it all about?
You bet. So I am the Chief Experience Officer at the Institute for Healthcare Excellence. And what we do at, we call it IHE, it's just a little bit shorter, as in healthcare, we love our acronyms.
It's true.
We really love to work with healthcare organizations across the country to help them really renew their passion for why they went into healthcare. And we do that by helping them nurture trust and respect and compassion with their teams. And we really like to start with their healthcare leaders and physicians by helping them understand the importance of transforming their culture. We like to say we help them create breakthroughs by engaging with one another's really in helping self-sustaining culture and really help kind of forge that systemic change that needs to happen.
Mm-hmm. And I think the idea of systemic change is often very daunting for many people, but so needed. So I'm curious to know, how did IHE come about? What was the need that you saw?
Yeah, so it really started back, I guess, about 15, 20 years ago when at an organization, our founder, Dr. Bill Maples, was a chief quality officer within a large healthcare system. And they were really coming at it from a patient experience perspective back in the day, where they really weren't quite living up to their brand promise out in the community. And so they really wanted to create this program that would really help their internal team create the best and ideal experience for their patients and families that they were serving. So they really needed to look internally at how were they leading, how are they working together as a team, and how are they really communicating the best that they could with their patients and families. And that's really where it was born out of. And as you can imagine, the need and the change that they saw after implementing this program at their health system was just tremendous. And other health systems took notice, and they took this program to another healthcare system that was completely opposite in demographic, and found that this same need there, and it was proven that it worked in a different environment and different demographic. And so then they decided, well, let's try it with like a collaborative different healthcare systems, like pediatric and hospice and community hospitals and academic health systems. And everybody, you know, got a taste for the work that was tried and true and proven. And that's when IHE was born as an organization to really be able to leverage the work that was proven at a couple institutions that now is offered for anybody to experience.
Who have you worked with?
Yes. Yeah, so we've worked with, I would guess, over 70 organizations around the world. And so we work with small community hospitals. We work with large academic hospitals. I think we've worked with 5 pediatric hospitals. We work with military hospitals and settings, clinics, hospice organizations. So we work with basically any healthcare organization from East Coast to West Coast. We've worked with international healthcare organizations that have come across and worked with us as well. So it's been quite a journey.
Yeah, it sounds like, I mean, over 70 institutions is pretty remarkable, especially on the global scale. And what I really appreciate about what you shared is that it sounds like the work you are doing is really applicable to a lot of different practice areas. One of the things that you mentioned was about creating breakthroughs. And what does that look like?
Yes. Yeah, so creating breakthroughs, I guess, is one of my favorite things that we do with organizations when we go in to work with them. And what we do is really peel back the layers and think about, again, why did you go into healthcare in the first place? What was your passion and reason for that? And we are able to work with leaders and physicians and nurses and care teams from all different disciplines and really get to the core why they went into healthcare in the first place. And if you're able to tap into that passion and bring that back to the forefront, that's when those breakthroughs happen. If you're really able to engage into those positive emotions and understand what's really important to them and bring that to the forefront, you're able to really kind of get through some of those areas of burnout that they're facing. You're able to kind of flip the switch and bring back to life what matters most to them.
And I think it's safe to assume that for most healthcare professionals, their why is pretty strong, and it's usually centered around giving back, supporting people, helping people, making a difference. And in your experience, I'm curious to know, what are the things that sometimes get in the way of remembering and staying true to our why?
Yes, I love all of those reasons are really what we hear about why people went into healthcare in the first place. And if you look at the root of all of that, it's about connecting with people. It's about creating relationships. And when you think about healthcare today, and you think about all those barriers, and you think about all of the technical things that are in our way of creating those relationships, that's what's creating burnout, right? All of those clicks, all of those technical aspects, all of our technology, while they can really help enhance our work, they also can create that divide and create the experience that really doesn't provide that key relationship and those touch points with the people that we serve and those people that we serve with.
I'm wondering if you could provide an example of that.
Absolutely. So when you think about going to work in healthcare and the team that you're working with, sometimes we go in and we go into our workspace or our desk and we put on our headphones and we go to our computer and we type out all of our previous notes from the day before, right? We're not interacting. Mm-hmm. We're working in our medical record. We're sending messages back and forth to each other. We're sending patient notes through our EMR. And there aren't a lot of interactions with our team or with our patients and families. Now, when we go in and we have our interactions with our patients, right, our time has been cut in half. Our time is limited. Our ability to connect with one another is shorter. And so all of those things, our clicks, right, our ability to chart, you know, our demands for that have gone up. And our time that we have with our coworkers, again, have been decreased. So all of our face-to-face times, it feels like, have been decreased and shortened. And again, if the reason we went into healthcare is to make a difference in each other's lives, we've seen and felt a decrease in that. We've seen and felt the pressures of more production, being more productive, seeing more patients with less time. And so an example is, if you were to work with IHE, we would really help you practice in a safe environment some of the key core skills of, in a minute or two, of how do you take that minute or two of connecting with either a colleague or a patient or a family member by truly being present. So practicing being mindful and then connecting by listening and being, you know, listening to that other person without interrupting them so that they feel like they've been heard. And you on the other end can really truly feel like you're valuing their time, but you're also then connecting with them at a deeper level. And that way you can really understand through some trust and respect and compassion about where they're at. And that provides you with a better relationship in the end, and you're able to understand why they are there and how you can help them.
I'm definitely hearing that going back to basics around relationship building is pretty crucial. And when I say basics, I don't necessarily mean easy, because we do know that being present and listening, and especially active listening, in any healthcare environment is often very, very challenging given the pressures that our practitioners face. And I think, you know, that's often really linked to coming back to that idea of what is your why and making space and time for that. And I'm curious, how did you find your way to IHE?
Oh, such a great question. And I want to comment on your previous point. Mm-hmm. It does seem basic. And I always like to say it's the work before the work that you need to do to really practice the skills in a safe environment. So you feel like you can really do and be there for the patient or family or your colleague. And I say colleague just as important as it is with the patient and family, because they are basic skills, but we really have gone by the wayside of really truly knowing how to practice them in an efficient, time-focused manner, because it doesn't take a lot of time. It can take just literally a breath or two in or out before you walk in the room. And then if you just, you know, put your technology aside, face them, look at them in the eye, and just say, I'm here for you. How can I help? And just doing that can just put your own self in such a better place of feeling like you're connected to the other person. I've spent my entire career in healthcare. Prior to 2016, I had been a healthcare executive on the inside of a healthcare organization. And I had the pleasure of what I thought was having my dream job, which it was my dream job, but now I'm in my second dream job. I feel to have that. We were able to open a brand new hospital I live in Minnesota, And I was on this incredible team that we were able to open and build and create this experience for patients and families and caregivers that had never been created before here in the state. And so we did that and we opened it, and it was an incredible experience. And through that, we were the top percentile for patient experience in the country, and were invited to be part of a collaborative and with other health systems that had been in the top tier for patient experience. And through that, I got to meet Dr. Bill Maples and a few other colleagues. And at that time, he was just starting out to create the Institute for Healthcare Excellence. And I was so interested and curious about IHE that I said, well, at some point down the road, if you're ever interested in having somebody on your team, I'd be interested in learning more about the growth and work that you do. And so in the summer of 2016, he did call me, and that's when I chose to move to the next second dream job in my life.
How lucky to have two dream jobs. That's amazing.
It is. I feel very, very blessed.
What is it that you love so much about the work you're doing now?
Oh, such a great question. I absolutely love meeting the teams across the country, kind of where they're at, and then uncovering and seeing where they are at in their journey, what their why is, and then helping them bring that back to life and connecting with their true purpose. And seeing that uncover in a few days, and then following them through their journey over the next several years, and just truly see the impact that it has on their team, but also in the people that they serve in their communities.
It sounds like very impactful work. And because I do some similar work, I can really understand the value, and it resonates with me. And at the same time, I'm assuming there is probably people out there that are maybe a bit skeptical about the idea of reconnecting with their why and how that can make a difference for them on a day-to-day basis. I'm curious what you would say in response to that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, every time we walk into a health system, there are people like, oh, we've done a program like that in the past and it never stuck. Or, oh, I've tried that. Or, you know what, I'm already connected to my why. And I'm, you know, there's so many things at the top level that'll never happen or will never change, right? Or we don't have enough staffing, or there's not enough money in the budget to do the things that we need to do. And there are always going to be barriers. There's always going to be new things that are in the way. And I think if we focus on not only, I mean, I think healthcare is so ingrained in focusing on the deficits and what's not going well. I think that's just what we've been, you know, trained to do, is where's the next error, where's the next thing that's not working. Mm-hmm. If we're truly able to, just for a moment, to think about what's going well and where are my strengths, and how can we kind of shift the focus to a state or a practice of thriving, what could go well, right? What could be better? Even if it's for a day or two, why not lean into that? And where, if we put the barriers aside, why couldn't we do something if it meant having a better team, having a strengths-based team, having a better interaction for the patient that's in front of me today? Mm-hmm. And I don't know anybody that wouldn't want to have a better connection with the person that's on the other side of them.
I think that's a beautiful answer on so many levels. And one of the things that really resonates with me is this idea of shifting mindset away from deficits to a place of possibility or opportunity. And as you said, who wouldn't want better relationships with their colleagues or the people that they serve? And I just want to come back to your comment about we are often ingrained in healthcare to think about those deficits. And of course, you know, there's a role for quality improvement and looking at all of those pieces that need to change to optimize safety and patient satisfaction. And I think it definitely needs to be paired with a frame of reference around what could be. And so that's what occurs to me, is that that balance between, yes, we need quality improvement and all of those pieces in healthcare, and what else? What else could we be doing?
Right. I'd even like to take that a step further. Yes. Yeah. You know, the experience of positive emotions and positivity in our workday, in our workplace. And what if we also had quality improvement? Mm-hmm. So kind of taking it even a flip side to that. Yes, we need to really think about what's going well and our positive emotions, even if we experience those in small doses frequently throughout our day. And then what if we also worked on our quality improvement projects? Mm-hmm. So it's not, yes, we have to get better and do our quality improvement projects. Oh, and maybe sprinkle in a few things that are going well, like add joy into our practice. Mm-hmm. But what if we started with the joy and then we also improved? I love the framework of it's a both and, but how about if we started with the things going well and then we also improve?
I love the thinking behind that. I love everything about that. And one of the things that I encounter on a really regular basis is that joy is sometimes really hard to find in healthcare. And so for those who are out there in the thick of things, what would you say is a starting place for joy?
Oh, that is such a great question, because joy is all around us every single day. And it isn't the big things. It isn't celebrating things or bringing cupcakes in or having an award presented to you. Joy can be in the moment, day to day, positive, different things that are happening. It can be, let's give you an example here of somebody wrote in the EMR to their provider, a nurse made a note in the EMR, and the provider read it, and he really liked how that nurse wrote that note. It's a simple response in the note to say, I really liked the way that you wrote that. Please continue to do well. Continue to write that note in that manner. It really helped me out. I appreciate it. Mm. That's joy. Think about that nurse and receiving that comment back from that physician. Mm-hmm. They're going to just continue to do well in writing their notes. I mean, now writing a chart note isn't very thrilling right throughout your day. Getting a comment back from somebody like that, it didn't take that physician very long to comment back. Yeah. But that physician's now going to continuously getting good notes that they feel are going to be helpful for them, probably making them a little bit more efficient. The nurse is going to continue to write notes that are helpful, and they know that they were helpful in the first place and got some appreciation. Mm-hmm. So it can be simple as that. The other thing, if you're walking by somebody's desk and you see a picture of their family member, instead of just walking by and noting in your head, oh, that must be their kids, you could stop and say, oh, I like that picture of your kids. What was going on that day, or what was important about that picture? And stop and pausing for a moment and experiencing a joyous moment between you and a coworker.
That's so interesting. Those examples you gave, I think, are really interesting examples, because at first glance, both examples could be just perceived as, you know, being nice or being friendly or being helpful. And yet it's intriguing to me about really capturing the joy from those moments. Mm-hmm. And holding on to that. And what you got me thinking about was my experience in ICU and working in the ICU, and let's face it, no one really likes to work 12-hour night shifts anywhere. They're hard, and working in ICU is very hard. And I remember some of the best moments were when it was quiet and myself and my colleagues, we were all just chatting, and while we were doing our charting and sharing about our lives, and there was definitely joy there.
Yes, there's joy there because you're creating a connection. Again, I'll go back to the beginning of our conversation. It's about the relationships that we create, not only with our patients and families, but with one another. You go to any locker room in any healthcare facility, you'll see a picture or two or a sticker or something on people's lockers or on their badge holders. And it can be simply a question. Tell me more about that picture. What was happening during that picture on your locker? Why did you decide to put that up? Create a connection. That's all it takes. And there's joy in that person that gets to answer. And there should be joy in receiving the information. And it might spark you to put a picture up that would be different because you know somebody might ask you about the meaning behind that picture.
Mm-hmm. What would you say to people out there who find it challenging to be conscious about doing some of these actions? And, you know, your mind's going a mile a minute, you're running off your feet. How do you be conscious about that?
It is difficult to do when you're always on the go, thinking about all the things that we have to write, those checklists of things mm-hmm. that we have to get done. We are so technically focused, and we are not necessarily always thinking about what can I do today to create joy in my day. And I think it's, again, it goes back to that mind shift of really thinking about how can I move from my state of burnout to a state of thriving. And it can be daunting and challenging. And I really think that you start the morning before you get out of your car, when you walk into wherever you're going to work. And it, again, it doesn't matter if you're in healthcare or if you're in a different field. Before you get out of your car, I think it's just simply setting attention and intention. Take a breath in and take a breath out, and say whatever your intention is for having the kind of day that you want to have. And then you walk in, and I know probably just the whole day just blows up in your face and there you are. But every moment you turn around the corner or walk into a new room, you can reset that intention by taking a breath in and a breath out and just pausing for a moment and recentering yourself. And I always think about, you know, when we go home at the end of the day, we are so hardwired to remember all the things that went wrong, right? We always think about, oh my gosh, if I've only had a different conversation with that patient, if I've only would have run that meeting in a different way, or if I've only would have gotten all 5 things done off my list to do today, or if I would have just had a different feedback session with my employee. We just think about all the things that kind of didn't go so well. What if every day when we went home from work, even if we work at home and we have to go upstairs to be with our family, like what if we just said, what's one thing that went well today? Like, wow, I got 3 of the 5 things off my list today. I'm pretty proud of that. That's better than I've done in the past. What if we just shift our focus that way and we just try it one day this week? Like, what went well today on my way home from work? Little things like that, little practices like that can add up day after day. So I just challenge people today on the way home from work, on the way home from your shift, what went well today? Instead of thinking about all those things that you wish would have gone better.
Mm-hmm. I'm so appreciative that the idea you just offered is really manageable and really, I'll say simple, but not necessarily easy, but I think manageable is the word, because I think sometimes with any sort of discussion around mindset shift, particularly in healthcare, it sometimes creates a frustration among those who are part of that discussion around, like, how can we possibly shift our mindset? How can we possibly make things better? Because, as you said, we're hardwired to think about the things that go wrong. We do think about all of the barriers, the things that are out of our control. That's something I hear a lot with the people that I work with is, well, I can't do anything to change anything because of XYZ. And XYZ are things that are at systemic level where they can't necessarily change that. And so the fact that you're saying, hey, one thing that can make a really big difference is setting your intention. One thing that can make a really big difference is paying attention to something that went really well and almost practicing gratitude for that.
Absolutely. Practicing gratitude can be one of the biggest changes and shifts in an environment of burnout. And I think, and it doesn't have to be a big thing. Like I said, all of these are tiny doses frequently throughout our day, you know, and I think, you know, just practicing them a few times a week can become a habit over time. And I think that's what we're really talking about, is seeing that change happen over time. Mm-hmm. It's a practice here and a practice there. And all of a sudden you're starting to notice that shift in yourself. And that's what gets us to that practice and that state of thriving over time. And with our work at the Institute for Healthcare Excellence, we really help teams, help leadership teams, help full organizations learn how to do this more on a system level so that they can see that culture transformation at an organization level. And it is pretty remarkable. And when you get the leadership's level and the physicians engaged at doing this, it can be pretty impactful to see shift and move over about a 6 to 9 month period of time.
That's so intriguing. And what I'm wondering then, you mentioned about these changes at the leadership level, and I'm curious, what needs to happen for this to become part of the culture? Is it a grassroots thing? Is it leaders down? Is it all inclusive? Like, what does this look like?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And it's different for each organization, but our guiding principle is really to work with the top level leadership team and physicians. You know, physicians by nature really lead, you know, the healthcare team. If they're not also practicing these skills and you have the team working with this kind of common language and this framework, and they're not part of it, it's really hard to totally move the whole culture. And so we really require leaders, physicians, care teams, everybody from every discipline to be part of this at some level. And that's really where you see the big shift over time. And so we always have a physician champion or executive really leading this and saying, this is important to us to move our culture the way that we need it to move. We have a physician champion, and then our care team rounds that out. So that is how we really like to see the work move forward. And we think that that's the best way to see that champion work move forward.
You mentioned a couple of times burnout, and obviously I think we all know how prevalent burnout is right now, unfortunately. How has your work changed after COVID versus before?
Yeah, that's another really great question. I think, you know, burnout was definitely prevalent before and it was a focus for us. And now that COVID is where it's at, we are, you know, still seeing the great effects of burnout. And I think because there's been so much attention to it, we are seeing that teams are really craving this work, and they're really hungry and more open to this kind of work. And so it feels like there's just such a need for it, that the openness and willingness to really lean in to wanting to really move to that state of thriving seems to be more open than it was before.
That's really intriguing about the idea of the appetite for this, and clearly the need is there. So if someone was interested in learning more about IHE and the approaches that you use, how would they find you?
So we have a website, it's iheteam.com. And so there's information there. My information is on the website as well. You're happy to connect with me personally. I'm sure after this podcast, my information will be available as well. You can give me a call or email me. You can find me on LinkedIn as well.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jennifer. And then just in closing, I mean, this has been such a fascinating topic, and I think it's something that is, as we said earlier, just so needed and really inspirational about some of the changes that you are making and the ways that you are making those changes and how you're supporting healthcare professionals and administrators and clinicians. So what would you offer as some final words of wisdom for people who are maybe feeling like they need a little bit of help in their work?
Well, first of all, I would say congratulations for thinking about this work, and I applaud you for leading the efforts at your healthcare organization. This is not easy work. It's difficult to take these ideas to your leadership team to be able to invest in this work, but this is the right work to invest in as we think about turnover and retention strategies and really thinking about growth and building capacity within our teams to take on more work as our organizations are facing kind of that human capital that we need. I think this work is incredibly important to really make an impact with our teams right now. And so I would say, elevate the conversation right now about investing in your teams, whether it's with IHE or another organization or internal conversations. I would say it is all about relationships and building the skills needed within those relationships to elevate your teams to be able to operate at peak performance. And whatever you can do to that, I think that is going to be what's most impactful in the upcoming months.
I love that. Elevate your relationships, elevate the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you so much for being here. It's been a real pleasure talking with you.
Yes, thank you, Lee. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks so much for joining us today at Central Line, Leadership in Healthcare. Also, if you liked what you heard, please head on over to Apple Podcasts to leave us a review. Be sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Also, if you'd like to learn more about our host, Leah Woodchick, check out talltreesleadership.com.